Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Baba Kama Daf Tzadak Gimel, we are holding two lines off the top of the Amud. This is the last of these commonly promoted wisdoms for which we are looking for a Torah source to substantiate. Amalei Rava L'Rabba Bamari Manah Mil Sadamri Inchi. Can we find a source for the following saying? Ba Sar Mari Nichsi. Person's a wealthy asset owner, Mari Nichsi, a wealthy man. So success follows this man. Sivi literally means a strand of fat. Mashach gets drawn after him. Basically, associating with a wealthy man can sometimes result in the person who associates with him benefiting from that association. So sort of the mazel, the good fortune of this fellow rubs off on those that hang out with him. How do we know that? Amar Lei, so he responded with a source from Sefer Bereishis, involving Avram Avinu and Loit. Tachsiv v'gam l'Loit, ha'hoylechas Avram, ha'yatzoin ha'bokar v'ayholim, Loit as well became wealthy, tzoin, bokar, ayholim. Why? Because he was in good company. He spent his time with Avram, and therefore success rubbed off on him as well. Amar Rav Chanan, one is meant to know that ha-moyseir din al-chaveri, a person is persecuted by this fellow and he turns around and he passes on the din to Hashem. Basically, Hashem, please punish this person. Hu nena shchila. One should know that it's risky business. The person, the victim, who is now asking Hashem to punish his tormentor, the victim himself can be the one that will receive punishment first. And the reason being, Rashi in Maseches Rosh Hashanah explains, because in Shamayim, in heaven, they'll look at him and they'll say, look, are you really worthy of being, you know, a vehicle, a medium of causing the other person, your attacker, causing him punishment? Meaning, do you stand higher than that person? Are you more worthy than that person that you're asking that person to be punished? So although that person may get his punishment, but so will you, and this person will get first. It's going to sort of come through you to him. Not you, meaning, yeah, this person. Shenemar, as the Pasuk speaks by Avram, by Sarai, where Avram took another wife, Hagar, who looked down and belittled Sarah Imenu. And Sarai, her name was Sarai at that point, and she complained to Avram. She said, "Tell me, Sarai, Avram, chamasi alecha, my claim is on you," meaning I'm blaming what's going on to me on you, and I'm holding you accountable. So basically, she was implying that Hashem should look after that and settle this account. And ultimately, she suffered first. Chsiv v'yev Avram, right? Who died first? Sarai Imenu was nifter first. V'yev Avram, this by the sorrow of Kaisa. But one is meant to know that this is only applicable in a case where he has local recourse. Ixlei dina ba'ari. He can go to the local rav, local bezdin, to look after it and to protect him from his tormentor. So in that case, he should choose that route before complaining to Hashem. And Tosfos points out that Tosfos says that in the time of Sar and Avram, we had a bezdin. Hayah bezdin shel Shem. Shem had a bezdin, and they could have gone there. So instead of sending it to Shemayim for treatment, it should have been dealt with down here. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Oiloi, on the same vein, Oiloi le tzoyik. Tzoyik is a person who calls out to Hashem and complains. Woe to him. Yoyser min hatnitzok. He's more at risk than the fellow that he's complaining about, as we explained before, because he's the one that's going to be scrutinized in Shemayim for expecting Hashem to punish his tormentor, which is reflective of his own personal opinion about himself, that he indeed is worthy of requesting such a request. So that invites scrutiny and can be dangerous. Says the Gemara Tani Nami Hochi, we have the same in a braisa. Rashi explains, it's a reference to the pasuk in Shmoyis Chav Beis, V'chara Api V'rakti Eschem. So Hashem will express anger on both the Tzoyek and the Nitzak, the victim and the perpetrator. Elo Hashem Emarin, the Tzoyek, Yotim, and Nitzak, but it comes quicker. The response arrives sooner to the Tzoyek, as we find in the case of Sarah. V'amar v'itzchak, lo'ilum al tehi kilas hedyet. Oh, kala beinecha, one should never take lightly a klal, even coming from a curse expressed even by just a plain, ordinary person. Don't take it lightly. Shana sharei, as we find, Avimelech kila lesara, Avimelech cursed Sara, niskayim bezara, and was fulfilled in her own descendants, Yitzchak Avinu, who was blind. Shana emar, hinei hulach ksusei naim. Avimelech is speaking to Sarah. Amarla, he tells her like this. Hoyle v'kisis mimeni. You concealed your identity from me. V'loy gilis shu isheich. Without divulging. You didn't tell me that this man Avram is your husband. You didn't tell me you're a married woman. V'garam, and as a result, I thought you were single. V'garam te'ilai hatarazen. You caused me all this pain and this whole situation that I was punished by Hashem. You caused it. Yiratzin, he used the word Yiratzin, Sheyu Allah b'nei kesuyei naim. So your descendants should be blinded. You blocked. You blinded me. They should be blinded. V'neskayim bezara, and in fact this was applied to her descendants, Yitzchak Avinu, who experienced blindness in his old age. T'chsev v'hiki yazakin Yitzchak v'techen ha'inav meiroiz. Amar v'vah. Person should always seek to be from the persecuted ones and not from the ones that persecute others. So when a person finds himself near death, being attacked by others, take it in stride, it can only do you good. The most downtrodden, meek of birds are the Torim and the Bnei Yayna. Again, the doves and the term, a different type of bird, and these are the only ones that are kasha for mizbeach. V'yechshiran hakasa l'gavim mizbeach. You can't use a chicken, you can't use a rooster, you can't use a turkey for a carbon. Only teirim bnei yayna, because they are the nerdafim. They are the weak and small birds. That gives them the zchus to be used as a carbon to Hashem. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Ha'imer sami is eini v'chul. We have two parts of the mission. A person invites physical pain. He says, look, blind me, etc. The person follows, he's liable. The attacker has to pay. And even if the victim explicitly exempted him, do it or not, I won't take you to task, he's still chayav to pay. But when it comes to tearing his clothing, etc., monetary issues, if he clearly exempted him, then the attacker is potter. Why? What's the difference? Physical pain, physical injury, no exemption. But financial claims that he could exempt him from. Amli Ravasi Barachom Al Rav Maishna Resha Maishna Seif. What's the difference between part A, personal injury, no exemptions there, and part B, where there are exemptions? Amar Leh, he says like this. We have a couple of terutzim coming up. Firstly, Amar Leh Reishel V'Shein Adam Ma'ichel Al Rashi Ivarim. Personal injuries, a person is not really Ma'ichel. And even if a person expresses it in this manner, I'm not going to come, he doesn't really mean it seriously. He's just, you know, in a mood. He's just, you know, speaking in jest or whatever. But when it comes to his clothing, etc., if he said it, he said it. Amar lay. So he responded, V'chi adam ma'ichel al tzari. So, Rosh Eivarim, right, which is a reference describing, you know, any sort of you know, limb related, you know, injury, blinding, etc., right? So that you say he's not giving up on. What about tsar? Physical pain, getting slapped, etc., right? Is a person moichel on that? You would think not, right? And what do we find in a brisa? That you can exempt your attacker from that. From that liability, the sanyo, hikani, tsa'ani, right? Hit me, wound me, amanas lifte potter. On condition that you're potter, the person follows through, he's potter. So according to your rationale, anything involving one's person is not to be taken seriously. This exemption is not really serious. Ishtik, so he was silenced. He didn't have an answer. Omar, so he responded, Midi Shmelech Bahad, do you have anything? Did you hear anything about this? Like, could you offer an answer to this seeming contradiction? Omar, he says like this. Yeah, sure. Hachi Omar, Rav Sheshes says like this. Being slapped, being hit, being injured in a manner which does not result in, you know, visible permanent damage, that a person could sometimes just, you know, forfeit, give up on. But in terms of Rosh Eivorim, something which is going to be permanently visible, that's different, said Rav Sheshes. Aside from his personal interest in maintaining his, you know, his body in proper condition, there is something called Mishum Pgam Mishpacha. The family is embarrassed if, you know, one of their members is missing a hand, etc. So that he can't give up on. That he can't be moichel on. Because it involves more than himself. And therefore, his mechila is not really effective. Itma Rabbi Yeshi Amar Mishum Pgam Mishpacha. Okay, so that was another Amira on the same line. Rav Amar Mishum She'ina D'moichal Rosh Yivarim Shaloi. He goes with the first teretz. When it comes to missing an Aver, a person is not really serious when he says, Ami Moichal Yu. So basically, it's a repetition of the two Ritzim we said before. Right? The question was, why in the Mishnah, when it comes to personal limbs, there's no Mechila there? Two Ritzim, that's too severe to be Moichal, or it involves the family. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, you know, let me give you a novel, simple teretz to the kasha. What's the difference between personal and financial? Yesh hein shukalav, yesh lav shukahein. At times, the word yes can really mean no. Depends how it's sung. If it's expressed in question mark form. Yes? Are you kidding? I'm not going to take you to Bezin for that. Of course. So in that case, the word yes really means no. You're going to have to pay. And that's the case of the Mishnah. He invited this fellow's, you know, personal attack, remove my arm, injure me, right? And the fellow goes, well, you mean to say I'm going to do it? You're not going to take me to task? You're not going to demand payment? And the future victim says, yeah? Meaning, come on. Are you kidding? You really think I'm not going to? Of course I will. This is serious. Of course I'll take it to Bezin. So in this case, he didn't really mean to exempt him. V'yesh lav shukahein. But in the next case, here, tear my beged. Really? You're not going to charge me for it? No. Meaning, of course I'm not going to charge you. Right? Meaning, the no, am I going to be potter? And the fellow says, no. I mean, of course, yeah, of course you're going to be potter. It's just my bag and I'm asking you to do it. Which Rashi says is typical. That's why the Mishnah picked, you know, this example by the goof and this example by the beggar. Typically, a person would be more willing to give up financial claims than physical claims. So, that's a simple terrace to the Mishnah. Yesh hein shukalav, yesh lav shukain. It's all a matter of how it was said and how it was expressed. Tani nami hachim, same in the Braisa. Hikani psa'ani, here, hit me, injure me. The fellow confirms, Amanas, lifter, do you mean I'm going to be exempt? But Amar Loini says, hey, yeah, you really think so? Meaning, of course not, of course I'm going to charge you for it. Harayeshen shukalav. Here, yes means really no. On the other hand, kras kshusi. Here, tear my baget. Question. Amaras lifted. You mean I'm going to be exempt? And the fellow says, no, love? I mean, yeah, of course. Hare love, shukain. So the no really means yes. So we had a kasha. Why, by personal injury, do we say the person's lost the pay, even though he was asked, he was invited to do it? And by like tearing a beged and things like that, person's potter. We have three tirutzim. A person will never be meichel on personal injury. Number two, pgama mishpacha. Number three, really is no difference. It's just reflective of different forms of expression. Shabbat is kadi kras ksisi chayiv. Okay, so he tells him to break his pitcher, his garment. The fellow follows through. He has to pay unless he was specifically exempted, right? V'ramini, we have a kasha from a braisa. The pasuk speaks about a fellow appointing a shomer, depositing an item with his friend. The pasuk uses the word lishmar. Ki yiten ish al re'eyo chamor eshoir eser, right? Lishmar. Here, take it and watch it. So then we say that the fellow is responsible to look after the item for which he took responsibility. But lishmar v'leila abed, only if he was asked to watch it, v'leila abed, as opposed to when he was taking it, al manas la'abed, planning on destroying it. Meaning, here, take it and just do what you want. In that case, he doesn't take responsibility. Lishmar v'leila likroy, I asked you to watch it, but let's say I told you, here, take my beged and just tear it to shreds. He's not responsible. Lishmar v'leila chalak la'anim, or this is an interesting case, here, take this money and give it out to poor people. So let's say the fellow took it and he wasn't careful and got lost. He's not liable because, as Rashi explains, who's going to come claim this money? Which ani is a rightful owner of this money? Nobody. Right? I can turn to any ani that comes and say, well, it wasn't meant for you, it was meant for your friend. So basically, he doesn't have to be accountable to anybody. Bottom line is, if the deposit was not intended for Shemira, I didn't task you with looking after it, with watching it, then you're not chayiv. So why the Mishnah? Shabir is kadi kras ksusi, here, tear my garment, you're chayiv. Why? What's the difference? Amar Puna, big difference, like Kasha. Teretz is, hada asi liyadei, hada lo asi liyadei. Now Mishnah, this fellow never took possession of my garment. Garment sitting on the table. Here, tear it. I let you tear it. Just the opposite. In the Mishnah, what happened was, I gave you the garment. Asli yodi. And then he tore it. So once he has it in his hands, he's responsible for it. Whereas in the Braisa, he never took it. Here, here's my thing. Here, do what you want with it. He never actually picked it up and took responsibility. So in that case, he's not responsible. So according to Rav Huna, once he takes possession, he's responsible, but otherwise he doesn't have responsibility. Amalei Rabba, but the Braisa, which focuses on the word Lishmar, sounds like he actually has it, because that's the pasuk, Chiyitin, he gave it to me already. The Asli Yadei Mashmar, it sounds like he has it in his hand, and still, if the plan was not to watch it, he's not responsible. Elamar Rabba, in both cases, he actually took possession. Right, the safekeeper took possession of this deposit item. So what's the answer? It depends on the mindset. It depends what he had in mind when he took it initially. In the Mishnah, he took it to guard it. And then he turned around and says, you know what? The owner says, you know, you can destroy it. I don't care. Too late, because he took responsibility for it. So unless he clearly exempted him, he doesn't have a license to destroy it. Whereas in the Braisa, initially when he took possession, when he took the item, he was told, listen, take it, do what you want with it. So his initial taking possession of the item was with this mindset, with this lack of commitment, so he's put. Hahu arnika that stuck at the asl pumbadisa. It was a pouch, a wallet with stuck of money, arrived in the town of Pumbadisa, and was meant to be distributed amongst the poor people, and each ani would get his allotment. Afka to Rav Yosef, who was a gabai tzedakah, he deposited Gabayahu Gavra with his fellow Pashaba. His fellow was careless. Also, Ganvi Ganvua, robbers came and stole it. Chayvi Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef sent his fellow the bill. He's responsible. Amar Abayi, what do you mean? Vatani Lishmar V'lechalik La'aniyim. The Brisa says that if a person receives a deposit which was meant for aniyim, nobody can hold him accountable. There's no clear litigant here. He doesn't have to answer to anybody. Amar Leisa, he says here it's different. Aniyim Pumbadisa, Mekatz Kitzlu. The local aniyim in our town, they have a weekly, you know, allotment that they get. So it changes the whole equation. They're considered like owners. Because this money that he received, that he was holding for the aniyim, was sort of already earmarked. It was a designated amount per ani. And therefore, Velish Mahru, it's as though he took it with full responsibility, with full achrayas to watch it, as per the instructions of the owner. Who's the owner? The aniyim. We're expecting this money as per their allotment. Hadron l'chachayvel. Okay, let's just summarize this. Doc, we spoke about rubbing shoulders with a person with good mazel. It can rub off on you. Being careful about turning to Hashem, requesting oynish for your opponent. One has to be careful about that. The greatness of being near death, of being on the receiving end of a persecutor, and we have the halach of difference between personal injury and financial loss, where we say personal injury is more difficult to be meichel than just financials. We spoke about a shomer when he's not responsible. Okay, we're beginning a brand new perek that is late. Says the Mishnah, HaGozel Eitzim. This Mishnah and the perek following is based very much on the halacha of Shinui. So if you recall, that back in the Samach Vav, the Gemara tells us, based on the pasuk V'hishav Esagzeil Asher Gazal, that the item that was stolen must retain its form, its property, its tzura, in order for the gazel to have to actually return that item. Meaning, if the item was transformed, dramatically transformed, it went through a shinoi, then the gazlan is kind of the item b'shinoi. It sort of becomes his, and although he has to compensate, you know, the victim of the robbery, but it's enough that he does it with money. He doesn't have to actually look for the actual item. That's called kinyan shinoi. Here come some examples of this halach. Hagozel eitzim v'osam kelim. A fellow steals lumber, wood, forms it into kelim, into utensils. That's a real dramatic shinui, right? Or tzemer, he steals wool, ba'asan, begadim, turns them into begadim, into garments. In both cases, mishalom kishas hagzela. So although now the item was dramatically improved, from raw wood to kelim, from raw wool to begadim, he's only responsible as per the value of the raw material at the time of the gezeila, because he was kind of the item through the shina. Gozal poramu beres v'yolda. In this case, in the following two cases, it's going to work against the ganav. He stole a pregnant cow v'yolda and gave birth under his watch. Rochel to uno. He stole a sheep carrying a heavy load of wool. The gazazan, he shared it. Mishalam gut meiparo heimedes leilid. How much does he pay? Former value, which is greater than current value, or current value? He pays the meiparo heimedes leilid, the value of the paro before giving birth, which is greater than now, but meirochel heimedes legadeis, the value of a Rachel pre-shearing. So in this case, it works against him. He's paying Gishas HaGzela, which is a higher amount. What if the whole thing happened under his watch? Gozel Para. He stole a cow, which was not expecting. Then the animal became Uberes under his watch and then gave birth. Rachel Unitana Esle Begazel. He took a barren sheep and then she grew wool under the Ganav's watch and then he took off the wool. In this case, he won't lose anything. Mishalom Gishas HaGzela, he goes back to the value at the time of the Gzela Zaklal, in line with the following rule, Kol Gazlanim. How do they pay Mishalom? They pay Gishas HaGzela based on the value at the time of the incident. Amri, here comes a question. Mishnah says, Eitzim Asam Kelim. He took wood, turned it into Kelim. Only in that situation do we say it's a proper Shinoi, and Shinoi is Kain. Because he actually, you know, drastically, significantly transformed. He converted Eitzim, raw material, into Kelim. By, you know, shaping it, sanding it, and cutting. Shifan Loi. Apparently, it's only a slight change. Shifan, he just, you know, sanded it, smoothed it. That's not really called a proper Shinoi. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. Or in the case of the wool. Only Tzemer, he took raw material, raw wool of Asan Begadim and actually formed it into Begadim. That's called a Shinoin, yeah. Libnan Loi, but let's say he just cleaned it. He did Libun on the Tzemer. That's not called a proper Shinoi. V'ramini, we have a kasha from Rabbi Brisa. Gozel Eitzim v'Shifan. He took wood and he just sanded it. Avanim v'Sisisam. Stones, which were just, you know, smoothed out. Tzemer v'Libnan. Wool that was just cleaned. Pishtam v'Keyu. Flax, which was also, you know, cleaned from its Mishalom Kishas HaGzela. These have now undergone a Shinoi. He only pays back, you know, based on the previous value before he did the Shinoi. Clearly, even these slight changes constitute a Shinoi. Amar Abayi. You're right, there are two different types of Shinoi. Tana Didan Tani Shinoi Derabbanon, the Hadra. V'kol Shken Shinoi Deraisa. In our Mishnah, we're speaking about a slight Shinoi. Shinoi Derabbanon. The Hadra that could just be reverted back to its original state. V'koshken Shinoi Deraisa. And certainly, if it was a real drastic Shinoi, Shinoi Deraisa, which is permanent, that of course triggers this halacha. But the case of the Mishnah actually is speaking about a lesser Shinoi. How? Eitzim means Eitzim Bason Kelim. He took the Eitzim and turned into Kelim. We don't mean, as per what you thought, that he actually, you know, cut them and shaped them. No, no, no. It was a very minimal Shinoi. But Eitzim Meshupin, he really took, he had, you know, smooth pieces of wood. Umayninu Nesorim. You know, he just had, you know, pieces of wood. The Shinoi Dehadu Labriyasuhu, which is a Shinoi, right? When he takes these, you know, smooth, finished pieces of wood and just forms it into Kelim. That's something that can just be reverted back to its original state. The boy, because if he wants, Mishluhu, just undo the kli, take it apart. The boy Mishluhu, Tzemer Basam Begadim. Likewise, in the second case, it was only a slight Shinoi, Shinoi Derabbanon. But Tzemer Tavu, he was already spun. Threads. It wasn't raw material, it was really spun wool. Which he turned into a beged, which he sort of wove into a beged, but that's something that's just temporary. Technically, you could just bring it back to its former state, right? The Shinoi Dehadu Labriyasuhu. The Abaye, because he wants, Sasala, he can undo the beged. So actually, Abaye turns the table around. The Mishnah is not speaking about a dramatic change, a very slight change. It was sort of finished raw material, which he just, you know, sort of reformed, reshaped, but it can just be reverted back to its original state. And even there, we say it's called a Shinoi. It's called a Shinoi with a Rabbanon. And the Gemara later in Daf Tzadik Dalet explains, why do the Chachamim allow this to sort of change the equation? Why does he not have to pay according to its current value, rather according to its former value? It's based on Takanas HaShavim. We want to make it more... We want to encourage people to do teshuvah, make it less difficult. So once you've invested this effort, made this shinoi, we let you keep it. That's the case of the Mishnah. And of course, if it was a irreversible shinei deraisa, such as sanding down raw material, spinning raw wool into thread, of course, that shinei would stick. V'tana bro shinei deraisa toni, v'shinei rabban like toni. Continues Abaye. Well, the second braisa that discussed gazal eitzim b'shifan anavim b'sisisan avanim b'sisisan, that's a shinei deraisa. That's a real irreversible shinoi. And you know, the braisa chose to discuss that, but there really is no contradiction between the Mishnah and the braisa. They're just discussing different things. Okay, shinoi deraisa like tani, shinoi derabban like tani. Rav Ashi Amar, he disagrees. He says, you know, our Mishnah is not discussing reversible shinois, temporary shinois. Tana did that. Rav Ashi Amar Tana dam nami shinoi deraisa tani. Our Mishnah as well discusses the shinoi deraisa, irreversible conversions. Eitzim vasim kelim buchani dainu shifan. When the Mishnah spoke about taking eitzim and turning him to kelim, what type of kli? Buchani, the mortar, you know, the one that you use to crush the spices or whatever, right? Dainu shifan. So for that, it's enough to just take a piece of wood and sand it down, smooth it. That's the finishing pro. You don't have to actually engrave and shape it and cut, right? So that's exactly what the Mishnah spoke about. Eitzim that were turned into kelim using a very minimal, you know, process here, just smoothing it down to size, that's enough. And that results in an irreversible, permanent shinui deraisa. Likewise, when the Mishnah spoke about tzar v'asam begodim, he took wool and turned it to beged. It was spoken about a beged which does not require libun. Doesn't require cleansing and cleaning of the raw material. Namti. Namti is sort of pressed, right? Pressed wool. Dainushinut lehodam. These are examples of irreversible, permanent changes. So that's Rav Ashi's approach to this sugya. We had a kasha, right? What was a kasha? Let's go back to the beginning of the Gemara. We had a dik. The Mishnah spoke about eitzim that were turned into kelim. So we said, hold it. Why do we have to go that far? Just speak about eitzim which were smooth and finished. That's also a shinui. So Rav Ashi comes and says, look, you're right. That's exactly what the Mishnah is speaking about. He took a piece of wood, finished it, and used it as a mortar. Whereas Abayu had a different approach. He says that we started off speaking about eitzim which were already meshupin, already smooth, and he took a bunch of that and sort of like formed it into a kli, and that could be undone. That's a shinui derabbanan. Rashi says no, it was a permanent shinui. Eitzim asam kelim means he actually reshaped it, he formed it, he smoothed it, whatever. That's called a shinui deraisa, and certainly he's kama. According to Rav Ashi, there's no discussion of shinei derabbanan, and perhaps it's not going to be kaina, unless it's a permanent, irreversible shinei. Okay, now, on the topic of libun, because the Braisa earlier said that semer v'libnan, taking wool and being malabin it and cleansing it, and there was a whole process, they would, you know, bake it until it really gets its whiteness, that's called a shinei. We consider the item, the raw material, to have undergone a shinoi, which generates the kinyan of the ganav, right? V'libun mi have a shinoi? Is that considered a serious enough transformation in material? V'ramin hui, we have a kasha on the topic of rachis hagaz. Farmer is meant to give a bit of his first wool, his first shearings to the kayin, right? halacha is that if he didn't get a chance to do so until he processed it, Ramini, lo yispik litn lo yachet savoy, by the time he got around to giving it to the kohen, he already dyed it, potter. He doesn't have to give it because he's kohen with shimei. But livnoi v'lo yitzavei chai, if he just cleansed it without coloring it, he has to give it to the kohen. That's not called a shimei. So you see, livnoi is not a serious enough change. Amar abayi lekashe, you're right, it depends on the opinions. Ha Rabbi Shimon, ha Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon holds that Liban is not a Shinui. Rabbi Shimon holds Liban is a Shinui. Rabbanan disagree. Sanya, we have a Bryce which reflects these Shittes. Gazazoi Tavai Va'argag, Eimetz Tarev. So Rashi explains, based on the Gemara and Chulin, Rishis, I guess, is only applicable when he has shearings from five recheles, from five sheep. So he shears one, another, until he gets five, and then it triggers the mitzvah of Rishis Hageis. So let's say he sheared one of his animals, then Gazazai, then Tavai Va'arga, he sheared Gazai, then he went and processed it. He spun it, he wove it. So that wool is sort of no longer raw material. It's already turned into a baguette. Aim at Starf. So the other one, the other shearings will not combine. You can't combine it. It's gone. So it's not going to trigger the chiv of reishis hageis. Emetzarav, because that's a real transformation. But livnoi, let's say you just did libun, Reb Shimon emetzarav here as well. You can no longer combine it with the other ones because it's been processed. According to Reb Shimon, libun is considered a serious processing. If you can still bring back the other wool and combine it with the rest, libun is not a serious enough transformation. So clearly it's machlekes how to treat libun. Rava Amar, Hava Harab Shimon. No, both the Mishnah and the Brayis are both Rab Shimon. So what about the status of libun? It depends how dramatic the libun was, how professional it was. Ha Danaptin Aputzi. He just sort of combed it with his fingers, with his hands, a manual libun. That's not called a shinui. Ha, but the other brayso, speaking to Sarkis Ruki, used equipment, used a comb. So that cleansing process creates a shinui. That's a real, visible change, and that's a shinui. Rav Chiya bar Abin Omar, here's another way to explain the difference. We have two different types of processes for shinui, for libun. Ha de chav rechivuri. If he cleansed the wool via ordinary washing, that's not called a shinui. But the Braisa, which says that it is a shinui, oh, the kabri kabriya, he put the raw material in a basket beneath which they burn some sulfur, and that sort of whitens it. That's a real permanent, serious professional process, and that's called a shinui. Asks the Gemara, hold on, how could you say according to Reb Shimon, libun is a shinui? Look, we find a case where Reb Shimon says dyeing, coloring the raw material is not called a shinui. Libun have a shinui, just cleaning it as a shinui. Asani, we have a brisa, gazaz rishon tzvoi. So the farmer, again, he sheared one of his sheep, dyed it, went to the next one, etc., etc. Rishon tzvoi, or as he was shearing it, he went quickly and he spun that wool before he got to the next animal. Rishon varogoy, or he wove them. Aim at Starav. You can't combine the animals for the total of five, which triggers the ratio second. So he's potter. Reb Shimon read the Shimon. Reb Shimon read the quotes. Reb Shimon tzvay mitzdarav. Dying. That's not called a serious enough transformation. You can still combine all the raw material together. So clearly, according to Reb Shimon, tzviya, which is a visible change, dying, changing colors, that's not called a shinui. Of course, libun should not be considered. Amabaye. Actually, there are two opinions within Reb Shimon. Like Hashi, ha, Rabbanan. I'll leave the Reb Shimon. The first price is the Rabbanan, in their opinion of Reb Shimon. Ha, Reb Shimon, Yehuda, leave the Reb Shimon. Where's the second price? That it's not considered a transformation. It's not called a Shimon. That's Reb Shimon, Yehuda's opinion of Reb Shimon. So we have two versions of Reb Shimon. Whether Libun and Tzvi is considered a Shimon, whether or not. Rabba Amar, the Oilim, Le Pligi, Le Rabbanan, Le Pligi, Rabbanan, Le Reb Shimon, Yehuda. No, there's no two difference of opinion of Shimon. Rabbanan nach chaylik. Don't disagree with Rav Shimon Yehuda regarding Rav Shimon. Everybody holds that libun is called a shinui. Cleansing it, whitening it, that's a shinui. So why is dying different? Vishani tseva. You know why dying is different? Hayil v'yachal aviroi. Adet suffering, suffering some sort of detergent, which removes, a pain remover. So painting, dying is not called a shinui. But libun is something permanent that cannot be revoked. Now, v'chiktoni hasa. Regarding that Mishnah we said before, that by the time he got around to giving it, he dyed it, he's potter. Apparently that's called a shinui. We said even Rav Shimon would agree to that. Why? I thought, you know, paint is not considered permanent. He says, Rava, I'll tell you how. That's a permanent dye, a different type. Now you're conventional paint. Bekali ilan, some sort of paint which comes off a tree, which looks bluish. They used to use it to trick people into thinking that it was the tcheles, which was very expensive. So that's something that just stays. Le'ovar, you can't remove it with the paint remover. So that's a permanent shinui. Everybody agrees in that case it's called a shinui. Amar Abaye, you should know, we have a whole long list of tanoim that don't really reckon with shinui. As long as the raw material is still there, its status remains intact. Despite its superficial, you know, visible, you know, change. Amar Abaye, Rav Shimon Yehuda, that's number one. Ubei Shammai, number two. Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, Rav Shimon Elazar, Rav Yishmael, Kulu Svir Lehu, Shinui Bimkami Oimed. All these hold that even when the item took on a new form, if the raw material is the same, its status remains intact. Rav Shimon Yehuda, Hadamar, we said before, even through dying, through changing color, does not change the halach. Bei Shammai, where do we find Bei Shammai? Mayi, the Sanya. Nosim lo chitin v'esnana. So a person who interacted immorally with a woman, gave her wheat as a gift, that's called the esnan. You cannot use it for a carbon on the mizbeach. What if it on some sort of transformation? You gave her the chitin, v'as an, or v'as as an, she turned it into seilus, into flour. Zeisim v'as an shemen, olives turned into oil, anovim v'as an yain, grapes into wine. We have a machlekes. Whether it's usr for a carbon or not, tani chada usr, tani dech mutter. One brisa says it's usr, one says it's mutter, because it's no longer the original item. V'am Rav Yosef, he quotes like this: tani gurion dimi is purak. So gurion from this place of spurk explained that it's machlekes tanaim b'shamrai oishrin b'silamatir. According to b'shamrai, the item, even though it went through this transformation, still maintains its original disqualification from carbon. We still say it's mutter, and it's based on psukim. My time with the Bishami. Why the Bishami say it maintains its isra? Amakra gam shneim. The pasuk there uses the word gam. The rabbi shinuyim. Even though it went through some sort of transformation, it maintains its status. Bisil amakra heim v'lo shinuyim. No, the pasuk says the word heim only the way it is originally. But if any shinui took place, it's no longer labeled as an esnan. Bishami exiv heim. What does Bishami do with the word heim, which sounds like it remains intact? How we barely heim labeled the seim. Only the original animal given as a gift, but not its offspring. That's a brand new entity. That doesn't have the Isra of Esnan. So say, you know, you can learn both cases from the same pasuk. The word Haim tells you, Haim v'leishinu yeyem. Haim v'leishinu the same, just like the offspring considered new entities. Likewise, if the item underwent sort of material, through a material change, wheat into flour, etc., it's mutter. Gam. What did Basil do with the word gam, which sounds like it remains intact? Gam Basil Kashi, you're right, you have no application for that word. And then the Mishnah, the Gemara continues with several more, Tanoim, which were on Abaye's list, which all seem to go with the same, on the same route, on the same track, that Shinoi does not change the status, halachic status of the material. Okay, so bottom line is, we have the Mishnah that Aganim is kind of a Shinoi. We have Shini Dei Raisa, we have Shini Dei Rabbanon. We have a discussion regarding whether or not Libun is called a Shinoi. We have different approaches, different types of Libun. And also regarding whether Tzviya is called a Shinoi. And again, we discuss different types of Tzviya. And Abaye comes up with a list. Many Tanoim hold Shinoi Bim Kaimai Aymed. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.